You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network. Attention all theater lovers! This Sunday, April 21st, Broadway Podcast Network is holding the first ever Broadway Podfest, a full day of podcast recordings with some of your favorite Broadway stars, live from the Museum of Broadway, which is right in the heart of Times Square. The day begins at 11 a.m. Eastern and features a full day of programming that you don't want to miss. Visit bpn.fm/podfest to get all the details and register to attend for free. That's bpn.fm/podfest.
You are about to participate in the most ambitious culinary experiment ever imagined.
This competition is going to test everything.
Adapt quickly to anything. I mean anything. The wildest day of your life starts right now.
All new 24 and 24 Last Chef Standing. Sunday night at 8 on Food Network. Stream on Max.
Hey everyone, and welcome back to episode 9 of Take a Bow Podcast. I'm Eli Tokash.
And I'm Sydney Lucas. I love how in each episode we get progressively like higher and higher every time we like say the number of the episode. Episode 8, episode 9, yeah. Episode 10.
No, yeah, I mean, it's
we're
so
just
exciting.
Amazed by it. Like, we did, like, how, like, we did this, and we did this with the help of Broadway Podcast Network, the most amazing network. We literally couldn't have asked for a better network. They're so incredible.
Yeah, very, very helpful, very insightful, and very, like, just easy
and
to
understanding,
talk to you, and
like,
yeah, right?
And it's also our first solo endeavor, like, doing something like this.
Mm-hmm.
And they understand this, so they understand it's a very special moment to teach us about, you know, everything, like, how to do this, how to run something like this. And so they're doing an incredible job teaching us and supporting us and listening, and yeah, they're fantastic. They really are.
Yeah, so today we have a great interview. It's really fun. It's with Jeremy Bias. Jeremy is 16 now, because we're 17, so he has to be 16, right?
Yeah, he's 16. I'm pretty sure he's 16. Yeah, he's 16.
Yeah, so he stops by today, and he talks about his time in Kinky Boots on Broadway, as well as being a dancer for, you know, Alvin Ailey. You know, not a big deal.
Casual. No big deal. Jeremy is a very dear and close friend to Eli and me.
Mm-hmm.
We went to school together. We went to middle school. And
yeah.
We literally knew each other. We all knew each other. We all met each other when we were 11. And we were all in our own respective Broadway shows then. I was in Fun Home. Jeremy was in Kinky Boots. And Eli was in Pippin. And we all went to the same school. And then we went through all of the years of middle school together and went to high school. And yeah, so we pretty much grew up together.
It's funny. One of my first experiences with Jeremy, like, that I remember was, like, him being really shy with me and then later finding out that he had a crush on me. Like, literally within the first couple days of middle school. So, ever since then, I've always kind of, like, held a special place in my heart for Jeremy.
That's
funny.
He also makes like the best first impressions.
Yeah, I know, right? Yeah. I mean, with those suspenders, like, how can you not? Like, you know, you fall in love immediately.
And in the actual interview, we'll talk about the exact first impression we're talking about. So tuned.
So we have some exciting new news for our podcast. You can now find us on Patreon, and you can find us at patreon.com/take. TAB, capital TAB, which is like Take a Bow.
Yeah.
And you know, we're offering some fun things for you to do, and it'll allow you guys to have more of a relationship with Sydney and I, as we will begin to talk to you via chats on Patreon. There's opportunities to do virtual calls,
even a personal relationship. So basically what Patreon is there are different levels of patrons. So for example, for a $5 fee, a monthly fee of $5, you get specific benefits from us. So like, for example, the $5 fee is really cool because not only do you get a shout out on the Take a Bow Instagram, but also you will get access to exclusive episodes that Eli and I will produce twice a month that only you have access to. The public doesn't have access to it. And that's only for a fee of $5 a month. And then for each level you go up, there are more and more benefits that you can have. And what's even better about this is for each level you go up, that level also includes the benefits of all of the tiers below it. So right. If you are a $25 patron, your benefits also include everything in the $20 patron, the $10 patron, and the $5 patron. So it's the coolest thing in the world. Go check it out. And it's also, you know, it helps us continue doing this. So if you like it and you want to support the podcast, go check it out. We have some really cool stuff.
Yeah. So like Sydney said, it's a great way just for us to interact with you guys and get to know you all more. But it's also a great way for us to continue to make episodes, as Sydney kind of touched on. And, you know, we know, like, it's hard and everything right now, but on Patreon, you'll find that there's literally a budget for anyone for as low as $5 to $75. So just feel free to go check it out, see what kind of benefits includes. There's actually some really cool ones. You know, you have the opportunity to have a virtual call with us. You have an opportunity to actually be on the podcast. You'll have the opportunity to come watch us do a podcast. There's just really cool things that...
When it's safe, in the studio.
Right.
When it's safe.
So there's going to be some cool things, and you have some opportunities to have some fun with us. So feel free to check it out. It's on patreon.com/TAB.
Is it backslash or forward slash?
I don't know. It's this slash.
Thank you so much. He literally just did a diagonal line with his hand. I'm pretty sure it's forward slash because I don't think I've ever seen any URL that has.
So is a forward slash the one that starts like to the right and then ends to the left?
No.
What's one?
A forward slash is one that starts to the left and tilts to the right. It's tilting forward. It's tilting to the right.
It's tilting to the right. Okay. So wait. So from the top or from the bottom?
Oh my goodness. Okay. Yes.
From the top or for the bottom?
From the top.
From the top, it's tilting right?
Yeah. It's so if you're looking at it, the bottom is furthest left and the top is furthest right.
Great. That's what it is.
So forward slash.
Forward slash TAB. Patreon.com/TAB. Thank you, Sydney. I'm so sorry that you guys had to listen to that. Those are a lot of Sydney and I's conversations. But yeah, there's some fun things on there. So, you know, feel free to check it out. And if not, we understand. But yeah.
Thank you so much for your support anyways. Just, you know, every time you download and listen to an episode and every time you, you know, follow us on Instagram and comment, it truly means the world. So thank you.
Yeah. Another thing I wanted to say was we're like, I miss Broadway so much. Yeah. I don't know about you. You know, yeah. I just miss going, like, not that I like went every night or anything like that. I'd probably go like once or a month or so. But I try to go as often as I can. And I just like miss it. You know, it just like the city itself seems so dull without it.
It's like an energy that it provides to the city.
Yeah. And I literally just can't wait to have it back. And the other thing is too, is like, I'm glad that odds are I wouldn't be working right now on Broadway if Broadway was running. So I'm glad that like, this is another opportunity to just like continue having fun and working kind of, and talking about what I love, you know, just Broadway and having fun and, you know, reconnecting with Broadway actors. And
yeah, especially at a time where we feel so distant, like it's just great to reconnect with people.
Yeah. And we're glad that we can, you know, sort of bring Broadway to you.
Yeah. And we get to connect with you through Instagram and also through Patreon. So once again, go check it out.
Quick plug.
I'm proud of that.
No, but like not even like just in your ears, you know, like although we may not, you know, be able to see your reaction and stuff like that, it still just means a lot. And if there's a way, just like reach out to us if you feel free. We're we're always down for a chat.
Yeah. All right, everyone. We hope you enjoy this episode. We definitely did. So, Jeremy, take it away.
Today we have a true triple threat. From his dancing, his voice, and his acting, he has professionally conquered it all on Broadway and at the top dance studios in New York. Welcome to Take a Bow, Jeremy Vias.
Hi, everyone.
We're excited because this is the first interview that Sydney and I know you, just know the guest.
Yeah, like both of us know you equally, because either Eli knows the guest and I don't, or like I know the guest and Eli doesn't, but you're the first guest that we both know equally.
Nice. Yes, so, and mind you, since like sixth grade, so for like 6 years we've known you, so we're so excited.
Let me paint a picture here. 2014, we were all 10 to 11 years old. It was our very first day of middle school. Then all of a sudden, a kid walks in the doors. He is wearing the brightest clothes.
Oh my God. The suspenders.
and
the glasses.
And glasses and a bow tie. He has the brightest, most enthusiastic smile. And he walks with an energetic bounce. So excited to meet everyone. And he captivates absolutely everyone in the room. His name is Jeremy Vias. And everyone was so excited to be his friend. That was our first impression of Jeremy. And I just think everyone needs to know. But anyway, yeah, no, we've all known each other for 6 years, which is crazy.
Yeah,
we went to middle school together, we went to high school together, and we're about to delve into so much information we would have never previously known about you if it weren't for this podcast. Are you ready?
Yes, I am.
Jeremy is like the most triple threat I have ever met. Mm-hmm. But let's start off with like the obvious. Jeremy's a human rubber band. He's so flexible. Everywhere he goes, he's in like some kind of contortion or stretch, whether it be the splits or extensions or whatever. He's very bendy. And he's genuinely the best dancer I have ever met in my entire life. Jeremy, did you start out dancing? Like out of acting, singing, and dancing, what was the first thing that you got into?
Okay, so I feel like it all started when I was 3 years old. And there was like a little dance program right around the corner of my house. And like, I would always dance around the house. And like, my mom didn't really think of anything, but she was like, okay, I know this little dance school, so let me just take him there. I was there for about a year. It was fun, but then I stopped. I was like, no, I don't want to do this anymore. So then a good like 4 years, there's like a huge gap where I just didn't dance at all. And my mom still wanted me to like stay like active or whatever. So she put me in the YMCA and I did swimming and tennis. And then I did karate and I didn't like karate at all.
It's good. You have to be flexible for karate.
Yeah, but definitely wasn't for me. So like a few years later, I was still kind of interested, so I kind of mentioned it to my mom, and then she was telling me how there's like a theater arts program in Queens over the summer, and I was like, okay, I want to go there, because I did not like going to summer camp at all, because I would do like school there too, or it's like the school in the morning, and then like activities at the end. I was like, no, I'm not doing that. So I went to performing arts camp in Queens, and I had a lot of fun, and that's like really where everything sparked. Like I was like, oh my gosh, wow, this is so fun, like being on stage and dancing with everyone. I was like, oh my god, this is what I want to do.
How old were you?
I was about seven or eight.
Yeah.
And I did that for 2 summers. And I was like, no, I really want to do this. And so the director thought I was really talented and reached out to my mom and was like, I think he'd be really great if we signed him with like a manager or something like that. And like at the time, my mom and I weren't really so like educated on everything in like the Broadway field and everything. So we were like, okay, we'll just like go on board and see where it takes us. So then I was a part of the Little Angels management company. And that's
that name.
Yep. And then with that, I got into Kinky Boots after like auditioning for a lot of things. So I had an agent as well after I got my manager. There was a person in the theater company over the summer who also had a child who like danced at Ailey. And so then that's how I got into dancing as well. So I started when I was 9 and I was dancing and I had a manager.
And then Kinky Boots came.
Yeah.
And then Kinky Boots came.
And were you still with that, you know, agent manager?
Well, I did Kinky Boots for a year and I had a manager and an agent. But then after I kind of dropped my manager because I felt like it was just better just to have like an agent. I didn't want to have like two different.
Sure.
Like, so I just had an agent after that. But
OK, so let's dive in. So you started dancing first, right? And then what was that initial, you know, light bulb in your head that was like, okay, I can do this dancing, but now I want to do more and I want to be on stage and sing and act at the same time as dancing?
Yeah. So when I was 3, I stopped. I didn't like it. But then when I went to do like the performing arts program, I did singing, dancing and acting, but dancing was very heavy because we had to do like a lot of dancing numbers. And so just like being a part of the space and like being with my colleagues and doing the choreography with the costumes and everything, like it just made me feel like so happy just to like express myself fully. And that was like really heartfelt and important to me. And I was like, wow, this is like amazing. Like having the spotlight on me and singing and just having a lot of fun. And it wasn't like, mom, I want to do this professionally, because I wasn't really aware of like Broadway. Oh, I did know what Broadway was, but I just like something didn't click in my mind that like I could do this professionally.
Yeah, it wasn't like on your radar.
No, really? Not really. I was just like, yeah, I like doing this like every summer. Like it's fun. But luckily the director like reached out to me and was like, oh, well, you're very good. And like you should do this professionally. And that's where he connected me with like the manager and everything. And that's how I branched out into like the Broadway field. But definitely when I was like 8 or 7 doing the performing arts program, that's when everything really sparked for me.
Okay, so what was that feeling that Kinky Boots gave you, because you were really like able to express yourself, you know, and that story and being with that show for your Broadway debut, like that's something so special.
Kinky Boots is such an uplifting show. Like, it's a show about love and acceptance and understanding being who you authentically are. What was it like having, first of all, being, like, how did that impact you being in a show like that? And also, how did it impact you having that be your Broadway debut?
I'm extremely lucky to be a part of that show. And I definitely felt like it was a good show for me to be opened up to. Because at the time when I was younger, I was very sheltered. But being a part of that space kind of just like pushed me into everything, and I was like, wow, so this is really what the world is. This is how people really love each other. And I think that was like a really like important part for me in my childhood. So and like everyone in the space and the cast just so like fun and accepting and loving, and like the Broadway theater family is so close, and everyone just like loves and like hugs each other a lot. So I think it was really great to be a part of that space, definitely being my first Broadway show, and I did have a lot of fun.
Praised by Lin-Manuel Miranda as the future of musical theater, SUFF's creator Shayna Taub makes Broadway history as only the second woman to write the book, music, lyrics, and star in her own original new musical. Don't miss the much-anticipated Broadway debut of the singular artist that Forbes calls visionary and Billboard anoints as one of the most inventive voices in musical theater. SUFF's The Original New Musical from Shayna Taub is now playing on Broadway at the Music Box Theater. Get your tickets today at suffsmusical.com. The Outsiders on Broadway tells the story of finding where you belong when the world refuses to accept you. Based on S.E. Hinton's beloved novel, featuring new music from Jamestown Revival and Justin Levine, and directed by Danya Taymor, Entertainment Weekly says that, with brilliant staging and some of the most captivating stage fighting currently on Broadway, The Outsiders has the power to inspire an entire generation. Get your tickets today at OutsidersMusical.com.
Yeah, I think one of my favorite parts about being a child actor is, I mean, first of all, the Broadway community is being a part of that family, because it truly is a family. And also the fact that you're growing up and you have so many people around you who, you know, teach you how to be just more professional and more mature, but also teach you how to love, like they help to raise you. So I almost feel like being a child actor, it makes us grow up a lot faster, but
yeah.
I mean, especially in theater, I think it's in a good way. I think, you know, we learn to, like, all of our friends are the people we're working with. So we have all of these amazing, talented adults who are literal icons, and we're getting daily masterclasses from these people. Kinky Boots is such a special show. And I think being in theater as a child in general is such a huge blessing. And I think it definitely, like, changes you for the better. So going back to dancing just for a sec, yeah. Jeremy is constantly in dance classes and in intensives. You go to Ailey, right? Don't you like dance at Ailey? Oh my gosh.
I've been dancing there since I was 9, and this will be my six year dancing.
Oh my god.
Oh my god, math.
Seven. Maybe seven. Yeah.
Seventh year. Everything is definitely stopped because of COVID. So I don't really know how that's going to work for my senior year, but it's been, like, really, really great being with them, and I've learned so much.
Yeah. Ailey dancers are like no other, truly.
Yeah.
And what's so crazy is, like, you're constantly working, because not only do you have school and not only do you have these dance classes that after school you go, like, immediately to these dance classes, but you also have auditions that you go to, and you are a working actor. What is a day in the life of Jeremy Bias, from school to dance class to auditioning to acting to jobs?
Well, first, having dance classes a lot 24/7 and auditioning was definitely hard, because it was really hard to, like, prioritize things and, like, oh, if this audition was at this time, maybe I'd have to run over there really quickly, maybe I'd have to be a little late. I'm definitely lucky because Ailey was very lenient with that at times, because they know that I was a working actor. But on a typical day, I would wake up at 6 o'clock in the morning. Yeah, I wake up.
Jeremy does not go to sleep early, so that's another thing that's, like,
nope.
You may think 6 o'clock in the morning isn't too bad if you, like, go to bed early, but he doesn't go to bed early. So
no, he goes to bed at, like, 2-3 a.m.
That was a lot. So I'd wake up at 6, leave the house at 6:30. I'd get to school around, like, 8:15, because I live in Queens, but my school, PPAS, which y'all go to, it's in Midtown, so it's, like, a very far, like...
Your commute is, like, one of the longest out of any of the students.
Yeah.
Yeah, don't you have to, like, take a car and then a subway or something?
Yeah, well, my mom would drive me, and I'd take the train, and then I'd take another train, and then walk there. But now I just take the Long Island Railroad, because Queens, like, I'm, like, it's not even, like, I'm close to Queens, like, I'm basically in Long Island. Like, I'm a 6-minute walk from Long Island. So I'm, like, the farthest away from Queens and the city and everyone. So it was a long commute. When I was doing Kinky Boots, of course, we'd have matinee shows. So I would leave for my 2 o'clock show. So I'd leave around, like, 1 or 1:15. So I'd stop school, like, not halfway, but towards the end of the day.
What's so great about PPAS, though, is that they're very flexible. A lot of child actors go to PPAS because they're...
Like, the only performing arts school that, like, lets kids actually work fully. Like, it's LaGuardia.
It's the only one.
So I'd have my matinee show, and then, of course, I would, like, eat or, like, do homework during the break, or sometimes I wouldn't, and I would just... Every day during the week, I have my 8 o'clock show or 7 o'clock show. And of course, like, the show ends around, like, 10:30. And then I would get home. The commute still extremely long.
Yeah.
So I would get home around 11:30, 12 o'clock. Still have to pack and get ready for school, wash up, do my homework, study for a test, do a homework assignment, and then really I wouldn't go to bed until, like, 1 or 2, and then I'd wake up at 6 and start everything over again. So,
and it's hilarious because at PPAS we're dancing there too, so, like, literally I was done after 2.5 hours, and then this guy was going to another, like, 5-hour dance for everyone. I was like, oh my god, I don't understand, but go you.
when I did do Kinky Boots, I actually had to stop early because everything was just getting like extremely complicated for me. So I'd only dance maybe on like Saturdays or like Sunday or something like that. So I did stop for a year, but when I did stop Kinky Boots, I would go to dance regularly, and then I would go to auditions, and that's how sometimes that would get a little messy as well. But I think it's always just about like prioritizing everything and being responsible. Like, definitely me, I'm like a type A person, so everything has to be like organized and like tidy. So I feel like for that, like for me specifically, it was not easy, but it was not that hard to like work out everything with time and like auditions. But it was definitely a lot. Like, I was always constantly on the go for years. Sure.
And not only that, but on top of that, you don't get a day off because you have a two-show day on Saturday, you have a matinee on Sunday, and then you go back to school Monday, which is the theater day off. Yeah. So you get no days off. You're working literally 7 days a week doing so much.
Yeah, it's not easy, you know. Yeah. Let's stay on the dancing subject. Like, yeah. I know now you're in the process of... You just had an audition for, was it Juilliard?
Yeah, I had my audition in February.
I know this is one of Sydney's questions, but since I'm kind of on the topic, what's the end goal now? Like, so we're looking at colleges and stuff like that. Are we looking for musical theater? Are we looking more dance? Like, what do you want to end up doing?
Yeah, what comes after this?
So long term, after college, I want to get into a concert dance company. And basically that's just like an actual dance company like Al Vanelli or like Netherlands Dance Theater in Europe or something like that.
Oh, wow.
And then after, I want to branch off into commercial dance, which is like dance music videos, and then do Broadway after. So that's definitely the long-term goal. And so for that to happen, it's imperative that I have an intense amount of dance training, which is why I have to go to college for dance if I want to like a dance company first, because Broadway I can do like until I'm 80. Like, there's
true
huge amount of Broadway stars, but dance especially, like, it's important that like I keep that up first,
especially in your prime.
Yeah
And like, I can definitely come back to like singing and acting, but for dance, like, I just have to keep on doing it over and over.
Well, the nice thing too is about, like, you know, with dance you have to exercise those muscles every day, and similar to singing, you can just do that, like, on your own time, though.
Yeah, for sure. Like you don't need a lesson or something.
Right,
like
so that. It's good to, you can easily just stick with it.
Yeah, it's definitely something I'm going to keep up with when I do go to college.
Yeah.
Hopefully.
Cindy and I have kind of run through to our listeners what goes on at a musical theater audition, but what entails the dance audition? Like, what does that entail?
Well, for dance, it's usually like everyone goes into one room and they have like a choreographer, and they might give out choreography, and then you have to execute it while there's like a huge amount of people like on a panel in the front of the room watching. And it's kind of similar to musical theater, but the only difference is that for musical theater, if you're like going like to sing or act, like, it's usually like a one-on-one thing. You'll have like someone who reads the sides with you, and then it's like that interaction to see how that is. But it's definitely similar. And of course, for musical theater auditions, if there's like a big dance call, it would be the same thing, and everyone would just come in one room.
I know you've mentioned wanting to, after you do dance, like going into Broadway. Would you ever be interested in going into TV or movies?
Yes, I would. I mean, if it comes up, I'm definitely not gonna like go crazy over it. But if there's definitely like a big movie that my agent mentions to me, and I really like the story and what it tells and what the sides are, it's definitely something I would look into. But it would definitely change the route of like
my
thoughts, for sure. But it's definitely something I'd want to do, though. It's very fun.
Yeah, who knows? It'll open more opportunities, new opportunities.
For sure.
You may know Jeremy from Kinky Boots, but he also was in You're a Good Man, Charlie Brown off-Broadway, and he was in Kris Kringle, the musical off-Broadway. But he was also in The Lab for The Music Man that is coming to Broadway. Were you able to work with, like, Sutton Foster, Hugh Jackman, and, like, that team?
Yeah, well, for the first two, I think it was 3 weeks. Well, for the first 2 weeks or 2 weeks and a half, we were definitely just working on choreography and a lot of dance numbers. And then Sutton Foster was able to come for the last 2 days. But at the time, Hugh Jackman couldn't come because I think he was rehearsing or doing something on tour. So he couldn't come, but Sutton Foster was definitely there. And she
What was your reaction like when you first saw her? Because after, I have a story that I want to tell.
Well, I have a whole bunch of Broadway cards.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, definitely. Like, also.
Things, right?
Yep.
Yes. And Dory from Broadway
and
Podcast
Dory.
Network.
Oh, yeah. My gosh.
Everyone was obsessed with Broadway cards at the time. I would go to the theater shop and like, I want to buy a pack. So I did have Sutton Foster in my binder. And when I heard that Sutton Foster was going to come, I was like, oh my gosh, I have her as a Broadway card. So I went to get my card and I brought it over to the theater when I got there. And I was like, oh my gosh, I love you so much. Can you please sign this card for me? And also I did meet her because she came to see Kinky Boots and I got a selfie with her. So I was like, oh, this is our selfie. Do you remember me? And she was like, oh, yes, I do. So, but she signed my card and she's such a great performer. Like, it was a dream to watch her on stage, like, so mesmerizing. But
she's also like the kindest, like, she's so warm. She's so warm.
The baby and the baby was there. Oh, she's so cute.
Oh, yeah. That's so cute.
Yeah, but it was definitely so fun working on that show.
Yeah. I remember, so because I was in all three labs for The Greatest Showman, right? And so one day I like literally just walked in, and actually at the time it was Hugh Jackman and Sutton Foster. So Sutton Foster was playing Charity, the P.T. Barnum's wife.
Oh my goodness.
And I walked in because I was going to go sing with Pasek and Paul, like, the Million Dreams. And all of a sudden, like, they're standing there. And I was, like, freaking out. And I knew, like, Pasek and Paul. And so I was, like, comfortable with them. And I was like, guys, I don't know if I want to sing right now, you know? Like, I just can't, like, I can't do this with them here. So so they talked me into singing, but not only was I singing in front of them, then all of a sudden they started singing with me during their parts. And I was like, what is happening? Like, I didn't know that was a thing. Like, I get no warning. But so I know what that must have been like when you, that initial reaction of like seeing her in the room. Cause like, you know, she's Sutton Foster. Like, wow. you're automatically starstruck, you know?
Yeah.
But also, like, Jeremy is, like, the most confident person I've ever met. Like, Jeremy, I don't know if you remember this, but there's a memory I have of you so vividly. Do you know in our school this stairwell that we go to when we want to go to the auditorium? Like, in the back of the school that is, like, near the exit that we're not supposed to go under any circumstances, otherwise it could set off an alarm?
Yeah.
I have a memory so vivid. I think we were waiting for acting class, and I think we had to do some kind of like audition, like some kind of singing audition. And you were trying to figure out what song you were gonna sing, but you didn't know. So you were like, "Hey, come here. I want to ask you a question." You're like, "Please help me figure out what song I'm gonna sing." And I was like, "Okay." So I sat down. And then you ended up singing three songs, front to back, full voice, full commitment, and then at the end, so casually asked, "So which one? Which one should I sing?" As if you didn't put on this glorious concert for me.
Oh my goodness! I remember that? Wow, yeah.
That's so.
So
cute.
I have no doubt in my mind that you made such an incredible impression because you always.
Also, can we take a moment because I'm getting this picture, and just because I knew Jeremy in middle school, like, he was like the cutest little thing. Like, and I don't mean to like say anything because we are the same age, but like at the same time, like, I was kind of like a foot taller than you, so like I didn't know that you were always in my class, and like it was just like your eyes were like so cute and like big, and like you always had like this cute innocent face on you. So when you said, "So which one?" Like, I like thought of that with his old high-pitched voice. It was just like with his eyes just like looking at you, just like,
that's all exactly what it was.
Yeah, it's so cute. I love it. I love that.
I was so amazed because you had literally sang three songs for me just without like back to back without stopping.
And his voice was high.
Confidently.
Too,
I love it. What a story.
I love you, Jeremy, so much.
Love you guys too.
I miss middle school. Those are the days.
I don't miss middle school, but I miss hanging out with you guys.
You don't miss middle school? I have to say, I miss middle school after going through high school.
Really?
Yeah.
Middle school was so much worse for me. Like, I mean, well, granted, obviously, like, for all of us, it was very, like, middle school was weird because, like, in sixth grade, like we said, where we were all in shows. So, like, I was in sixth grade for half of the year, and then the other half of the year, I was pretty much, like, not in school for most of the 6 months. And then seventh grade, I was in Texas. I didn't even go to school. And then I came back for eighth grade, like midway through the year. So middle school was weird. Yeah. I didn't like, it was just a really bizarre thing. And it's bizarre, like trying to balance school and theater, obviously, when you're a child actor. But luckily the school we went to was like very flexible. Mm-hmm. I love your nails.
I know.
I got them done 2 weeks ago.
Oh, really?
Oh. Wow, they stayed like, well. Last night.
Well, they're kind of chipping, but...
Oh, my bad. Did you see Sydney's nails? I picked them out. Thank you.
Oh, I changed them again.
Oh, that's so pretty. I love you. Ben.
I'm sorry. I really need to be able to play guitar and my long... I can't, like, do my long nails. So I know I asked Oscar for my third most recent nail color, and then I asked you for my next most recent, which, weirdly, Mahi... I was asking Mahi what color he wanted me to do. He picked the same exact color that you did. He went sky blue, yeah. That one. And I went, that's the one I'm wearing right now.
Oh, yeah, that's beautiful. Thank you.
And he chose this with like the thing on the ring.
I love.
Yeah.
They look great.
Such similar taste.
This is staying in.
Yeah. Sorry, we're just talking about nails. So Jeremy, let's talk a little bit more about like what it's like to be a child actor. There are things called child wranglers, right? Can you explain for someone who may not know basically what a child wrangler is and what they do?
Yeah, well, a child wrangler is essentially like your babysitter while you're in the show. They kind of just like walk with you around everywhere to make sure you're like safe and just making sure that like you're on like the right track or like on the right side of a wing before you go on, or like make sure you're dressed or make sure you're doing something on the right cue before you go on.
Also, parents aren't allowed backstage, so they kind of act as the guardian or the parent backstage.
Yeah, by half hour call you can go up, but like 5 or 10 minutes before the show, like all the parents have to leave.
What did you do in between shows? Because we have two show days. Were your two show days Wednesday and Saturday?
Yes.
So did you ever go to the Broadway Park?
Oh, my God.
The iconic Broadway Park. Yeah. So basically on half shows, I mean, on like in between
two show days,
I'd be like, oh, yeah, I'm going to do my homework, this, that, and the third. Yeah, I would definitely not do my homework. I would either go out to eat or go to the movies or something if it's like a short like film. And then, or before or after, I would go to the Broadway Park. And that's just where like everyone would go and hang out and just have fun and mingle with all the other Broadway kids.
It's literally where every single Broadway kid like met each other and played with each other. Does anyone know the address of the Broadway Park, or should we like give that away?
Yeah, it's on 43rd and 9th, like by the corner.
Yeah, it's like in between 8th and 9th. It's on that same avenue of that Dollar Pizza place. It's great.
Yeah, it has swings.
We would all stop there on our way to the park. Yeah. And
have like the Matilda kids.
Yeah. And it has that like twisty thing where you just go round and round and round and round.
And you would always get dizzy and definitely a lot of nostalgia with that.
Nothing like getting dizzy before an evening show.
Let's talk about, you mentioned the Broadway card and then you mentioned like the Broadway Park. So it was cool because we all have like different memories with each other from like being on Broadway just because it's small, especially the kid community. Jeremy, share one of the stories either from like the Broadway Park or from even like the fundraisers that we did where we decorated like the bags at the Lion King Theater and stuff like that. Yeah.
Do you remember, were you guys there when we decorated like clay butterflies?
Oh, yeah.
Is that a...
Oh, yeah. So basically, like, in Thanksgiving, we would, like, all the Broadway kids would, like, come to the Lion King Theater because they were kind of, like, organized everything. And we would just, like, create bags for, like, the people who are, like, homeless or don't have. And it was, like, a really great time because, like, all the literally every single Broadway kid was there and just coming together and doing something positive for the community. I actually have a photo with Liliana who was doing
it. Yes.
It's right here.
Oh, Broadway Serves. Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Yes. That's so cute.
Those were insanely fun. But it's definitely a great time.
Yeah. So, but the great thing about that were the adults on Broadway all got together to get the kids on Broadway together, you know, and like have the opportunity to like hang out, have some fun, but also do like great things. So that they were really the ones that got the kid community so close, you know, because we met each other through there. And then we would all be like, oh, do you guys go to the park? Like, you should come to the park.
Yeah, and then we would create, like, play dates.
Yeah.
So much fun. And for those of you who don't know, Lion King, every single Broadway kid went to Lion King for Halloween. Like, they would create this haunted house. We would do trick-or-treating there. Because oftentimes, didn't we all have to do a show on Halloween?
Always. It was always, I don't know why, but it was always Halloween always fell on like on a night show. Like it was never on a Sunday where we had like just a matinee or anything. It was always at night. So on the in between shows on the Saturday, the week of Halloween, Lion King always did that.
And it was so thoughtful of them because they knew we wouldn't be able to trick or treat. So they made their own like haunted house and just trick or treat.
Yeah. And not only was it. Right, and because not only was it a haunted house, but it was also, like, a little place where we could trick-or-treat.
Yeah.
And they had, like, pizza for us, and, like, yeah, they were the best. And it was the same people that hosted the Broadway Serves, too.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, they're awesome.
And we were so really thankful. That, like, we still keep up with, like, each other now, like, because we were, like, able to meet everyone.
Right.
You know, we can hit them up on direct message and be like, hey, what's up? And, like, I feel like those type of relationships are very good, especially because we're most likely still going to be in the field when we're older. I mean, some of them did stop performing, but a good bit of them are like still trying to audition and stuff. So it's definitely good to have those connections still.
Yeah. And plus we all need to like stick together and support each other, you know, like that's what the community is. So even if it's like not in a field, like, and they're like, hey, come see me in my swim meet. I'd be like, yeah, you know, like just anything. Mm.
Yeah, super supportive.
Yeah, totally. Can we play a game?
A game? Okay.
You seem very unsure.
I've never played a game before on a Zoom, so this should be fun.
Well, there's the first time for everything.
There's no pressure. I promise we'll try to make it easy for you.
No, it's the greatest. So we have this game called Illicit, and it's kind of like our names combined, Eli Sid. But elicit basically means elicit a response. So it's basically going to be a fast round game. So we're going to ask you a question and you're going to answer it as quickly as possible. Super fun. We have 10 questions for you. Are you ready?
Okay.
Take a breath.
Okay. Number one, which actor would you most like to work with?
James Monroe Iglehart.
Oh, yes.
Oh.
One of my favorite Broadway shows is Aladdin, like seeing him on stage, like just seeing him with like, so excited and having so much energy, like I just loved it. So
that's so funny. So my next question is, what's your favorite musical?
Yep, Aladdin, definitely. And the revival of Carousel.
Oh yes.
Yeah, this is a great musical.
Okay, my next question, which dancer would you most like to work with?
Oh my god,
fast pace. First one that comes to mind.
Okay, Jermaine Spivey. He's like a really famous contemporary artist, and I definitely relate to him a lot. So
We've mentioned that you're a triple threat, you know, to the T, but what other talents do you have that, you know, others may or may not know about you?
Well, when I was younger, I used to knit a lot, like in sixth grade. I guess not like a hidden talent, but it's something that I know how to do.
Follow up, where did you learn how to knit?
At PPAS, like Jack told.
Right.
Yeah, they were all good at it. So I was like, okay, I'll just follow the trend.
Aw.
That's where that started. Shout out to Jack. Next one, it's kind of similar, but if you weren't an actor, singer, dancer, what would you be?
I'd want to be an obstetrician.
Really? Why is that?
I always wanted, like when I was younger, I was definitely into science. I love science a lot. And my mom like worked in a hospital. So like definitely being a part of that, I can like easily get into like a medical school or something like that. But I just like, I think the idea of like bringing babies into the world is like such a beautiful thing. So I definitely want to be an obstetrician.
Wow.
Like,
look at you.
Yeah.
That's so fun. What show are you, what TV show are you currently watching?
Disney Plus, Wizards of Waverly Place.
Yes. Oh. As you should.
That and is Ring. Like the 2000s.
And what?
Ring.
Ring? Ring?
It's like that. It's R-E-I-G-N. It's like the royal.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, Rain.
Yeah, Rain.
Oh, how's that?
It's really good. It's has a lot of seasons, so I'm not even close to finish, but
okay.
I kind of just jump around.
What is the best compliment that someone could give you?
When people say I'm very mature.
Oh.
Really?
I don't know. I just feel like I really appreciate when people think I'm mature, because like I feel like because of like my high spirit or like me being short, like people might like not assume, but I don't know. I just feel like it's nice when people like see me as like very like mature, like how I uphold myself in a setting or something like that.
You are very mature and you're very responsible. But the thing is, what's so great about you is you're not only mature, but you are so outgoing and energetic. You combine the two perfectly. So,
thank you.
Yeah. And you're very well spoken.
Yeah.
Like, this has been really great so far.
Okay, good.
Yeah, no, you're, don't worry about it. Okay, we have three more questions. I promise these aren't going to be too difficult. Okay, what is your go-to shower karaoke song?
Say So by Doja
Cat. Oh, do you have to do the TikTok dance with it?
She's kind of like, yes. I was doing that time. She's kind of problematic, but you know, it's okay. But I love that song a lot.
It's a good song.
Yeah, it's good. Song.
What is one thing you wish you knew before you became a child actor?
That's a good one. Just understand, like, you're already in your career and, like, the people that you're with are people that you're going to know for a very long time. So just to, like, be nice to everyone. I mean, I definitely think that, like, I was a good person at the time. But I know just, like, keeping up that idea of being nice to everyone.
Oh, that's perfect. That's actually, like, the best advice that someone could give a child actor. Like, if you do anything, be nice to every single person.
So much like childhood tea with like a lot of the Broadway kids. Yeah, definitely that's one.
Yeah, it's important because like we get told all the time that like Broadway is a small community, but like it kind of is. Like obviously there's a lot of people, but like a lot of these people literally know everyone. Like they all know each other. Yeah, so it's so important to make a good impression and like, you know, just stick with it and have positive vibes. Okay, last one. So you were in Kinky Boots when you were in 10, right? When you were 10 or 11?
Yeah, 11.
Okay. So at 11 years old, this guy was walking in heels on stage.
Yeah.
Did you ever have like a stage, like an on-stage mishap or anything like that?
No, I actually didn't.
Ooh.
Wow. You had some practice there, eh?
Yeah, I guess so.
Okay, bonus question. Would you ever want to play adult Lola?
Oh my gosh, I would love to. That would be amazing. If there was ever a revival, I would definitely go to that audition because that show like is so fun with all the quick changes and
it's gorgeous.
Everything, yeah. But my voice definitely probably a little too low for
You have some time. Don't count yourself out.
We'll see. But I would definitely want to be older Lola in Kinky Boots in the future.
I would buy tickets for that in a heartbeat. And wouldn't you be like the only person who played not only child Lola, but also
Right?
Like, yeah, that'd be pretty cool. Like a cool like new thing.
Yeah. So Jeremy, you have done some work with Jordan Matter.
Oh, yeah.
So for those of you who don't know who Jordan Matter is, he is this amazing photographer. He works with dancers and gymnasts and all kinds of, like, acrobats and whatever. And he's very famous on YouTube. And Jeremy actually worked with him. And you can if you go to Jordan Matters Instagram and YouTube, you can find videos and pictures of Jeremy and
several pictures
and all of his talent. Oh, several.
Yeah.
How did you guys get connected? Like, how did you know each other? How did that work out? And just how is it like working with him?
Yeah. So when I was younger, dancing at ALE, Jordan Matter wasn't as big as he is now. But at the time, he was definitely just going around, like, America and, like, just going to, like, dance schools and being like, hey, could you, like, take a few of your kids and like, have me work with them and we can take photos or whatever. So he went to ALE. And the people and the faculty at ALE were like, okay, let's have Jeremy come. And so, of course, I came with my suspenders and my iconic sixth grade, seventh grade look.
Yes.
And that was like the first photo shoot that I ever had with him.
And that was in sixth grade, you said? Like sixth or seventh?
Yeah, around that time.
And you still do stuff with him, right?
Yeah, not as often. I think the last time I worked with him was like a year ago.
Yes, I love it. I can't believe you're doing a toe touch in literally a button down and suit pants and suspenders and a bow tie. Like, you amaze me.
Thank you. Yeah, so Jordan Matter wanted to work with me in the future. And then after that, we just would always DM each other because he lived in Nyack. It's in New York. Kind of far, but it was still easy for me to like commute and like go over there and take photos. And I did a 10-minute challenge with him.
Yeah. For
how many photos I can take with him in 10 minutes. And I did the Starbucks 24-hour challenge.
Yeah.
Thank you. And like going to a bunch of Starbucks in the city and taking photos. So I met up with him in his shoot. So yeah, it's been a blast working with him. And he's actually crazy. Like, the way his mind works and like being so spontaneous about like, go over there and do this or go. I'm like, oh my God. Okay. So I'm like running and like panting. It's like a lot, but it's a lot of fun.
He has an incredible eye for photography.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And the fact that like, he's able to like, you know, just like coordinate that with dancers is just like another level of, you know, just imagery and what goes on inside his head. It's great.
Yeah,
because it's one thing to like take a picture of like this cool building and whatnot, but it's also another thing to add a person there and a dancer telling them what dance move to do. Like, yeah, I don't know. It's just like, it's crazy.
Yeah, yeah.
It's definitely awesome.
Petition for Jeremy to do more stuff with Jordan Matter because yes. I love when you guys collaborate.
Thank you.
Jeremy, thank you so much for sharing your light and wisdom with this podcast. We love you so much and we miss you.
Yeah, this was so much fun.
It was so fun. I'm glad I was able to do it because like, I was having a lot of anxiety. I was like, I don't know.
No, but you were great.
Thank you.
Yeah, no. I know people will like this one for sure. Especially because like, it was just like chill, you know? It was just kind of fun. And we were just like getting, not only were we getting to know you, but also the listeners were too.
Yeah,
so
I learned so much more about you.
Yeah, literally. I love that you want to be an obstetrician. Like, what? I'm obsessed with that.
That would definitely be a lot though, because like everything in like the medical field, like it takes a long time to like get there. And I'm very social, and usually people who are obstetricians aren't as social.
Sure.
Not in their own little bubble.
But I can just I can just picture you just like being so talkative, like doing your, so like, how is your day? What's going on?
But I think that would be great because like,
oh, it makes people feel so comfortable.
Yeah. I was just going to say like, people are like so like tense and everything that like, that gives them an opportunity to like feel at ease, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So don't worry. You have so many things going for you.
I would want you to be my doctor. if you ever were. Take a bow, Jeremy Vias. We love him so much. He's a dear friend of ours. We've known him for 6 whole years. We've known him for as long as we've known each other.
Yeah.
So it was super nice, you know, connecting with him. And Eli, you go to school with him right now. So you do get connected. But we learned a lot about him that we didn't previously know.
Yeah. And it's so nice because, like, literally – just recently, Jeremy and I are starting to get like more and more close. Like, we were always kind of close, but we were never as close as we are now. And so now, like, from being in school with him and like learning more about him, even from this interview, like, it was so nice to have him on. And like, I'm so happy to like have him in my life, you know, because he's just such a special person.
Yeah, he's one of my favorite people.
Yeah, seriously.
He's also like from the get-go, when we announced that we were going to be doing this podcast, he was like our first fan. Like, he was our first supporter.
Yeah.
And he he immediately followed us on Instagram, on the Take a Bow podcast Instagram. And it was just really nice to have him on. And thank you, Jeremy, so much for being so supportive. And we're just really, really, really grateful for you.
Yeah, I don't know if... Because, like, remember when we were going through that phase of, like, we were still trying to think of a name and get a logo and stuff like that? And yep. We literally had, like, 20 different logo options just, like, between colors and between the style of it and all of that. Thankfully, we ended up figuring it out. But a big portion of that...
Thank you, Del Bustos.
Yeah, but also, like, Jeremy was... not only like the first follower and stuff like that, but he was also like helping me. I was going to him in school and being like, so what do you think about this? Like, and he would always help with everything that like was going on. So it was cool. And I'm glad that we were able to have him on for our 9th episode. Wow.
Yeah. And even like after the episode, once it ended, we legit spent like an hour and a half on Zoom hanging out. And he gave us like, he was like, oh my God, what if you like do this? And guys, he may come on to be an honorary co-host, which would be really fun and really cool.
Yeah. If you enjoyed this episode, please like let us know, because we kind of are really wanting him to come back more often. So, and you guys can hear more about Jeremy. So
he'll be back.
Yeah.
And he can come back anytime. Anytime he wants to do a podcast, Jeremy, just like reach out to us and be like, hey, can I like join in on this one?
Yeah, seriously. I loved the whole, you know, we talked about theater, we talked about dancing, but we also talked about like so many other things. And we talked about, you know, the casualness of going to school, and we talked about what he wanted to be when,
oh my gosh,
if he wasn't an actor.
He wants to be an obstetrician. I would have never in my entire life guessed that.
Yeah. So
Jeremy V is an obstetrician.
I'm glad we were like able to like revisit the, you know, just our time on Broadway when we were all like together and doing Broadway serves and doing Broadway part.
It's such a weird coincidence that when we were 11, we were all on Broadway.
Yeah, right? So it's pretty cool.
Yeah, so we could empathize with each other. And you know, the school that we go to, it's a performing arts school, so there are a lot of kids there who are on Broadway or TVs or movie, and it's an amazing school, very flexible. Not everyone is a professional actor, but like a lot of kids are. And it's kind of this unspoken camaraderie with all these people, because they like understand what you're going through, going to school, going to Broadway, going to auditions, going to classes, to constantly keep your everything up.
Not just between the students, but also between the teachers. Like, a lot of them understand too. It's just like everyone has like a unspoken sort of respect for each other.
Yeah,
where
absolutely.
We don't talk about it, but we'll show it with our actions and just support and all of that. So it's really cool.
And also, Jeremy's such a hard worker.
Yeah.
He is constant. Like, so in high school, we would do the academics in the morning, and then we would have a very small, like, 30-minute break where we had to transport ourselves to another building and do either, it depended on the day of the week, we had to do either acting, singing, or dancing. Dancing was a couple days a week. Singing was a couple days a week. Acting was a couple days a week. But Jeremy, like, we would have a couple hours of that. And, like, full, like, when it was a dancing day, it was a lot for me, because I'm not, like, a dancer.
Right.
But then he would do a full day of that. We would end at 3:30, and then he would immediately go to another 2-3-4-5 hour dance lesson.
Yeah.
And I'm like, my legs are already cramping. How could you go to another lesson right now? Who are you? Are you human?
Yeah. I mean, he's literally never home, because like, only does he like, so he's in the city doing dance lessons until like easily 8 or 9,
And then, you know, he also has like voice lessons, and he also has, you know, just homework and other things he has to catch up on. Like,
I mean, he does his homework on like the train ride home.
Right. And like, crazy. Yeah, it's crazy. He's really cool. And we're very excited that we got him on. And yeah, if you didn't know him before, like, I hope you guys are fans of him now, you know, because he's pretty cool.
He's going to be big. I know it. He's going to be something really big.
Yeah. Yeah, well, thanks again, Jeremy, for coming on. And we're excited because next week is our 10th episode. So,
wow.
I know, right? We were, like, just celebrating over, like, 5 or something. And now we're, like, now it's 10. And we're, like, oh, wow, like, that's kind of, like, an actual accomplishment. So,
how did that happen?
Yeah. So, yeah, thanks for listening again. And I hope you enjoyed this episode. And next week's episode is going to be pretty, pretty fun.
Yeah, and stay tuned for future episodes because Jeremy will most likely be coming back to be our honorary co-host. And it's going to be so much fun. So stay tuned, keep an eye out, and keep your ears open. And like always, we love you so much. Thank you so much for supporting. Stay safe, stay sane. Come back next week.
Bye, everyone.
Sick beat, am I right? Special shout out to Nikki Torsha and Cormac Colinon for our amazing intro and outro music.
Thank you so much for listening to this week's episode of Take a Bow. We hope you enjoyed it. Feel free to subscribe and leave a rating on whatever platform you're listening to us from.
And tune in next week for another episode.
This podcast wouldn't be possible without the help of Dori Berenstein, Alan Seals, Brittany Bigelow, and the team at the Broadway Podcast Network.
To learn more about this podcast, visit bpn.fm/takeabow and follow us on Instagram at takeabowpodcast, where you can contact us with any feedback, suggestions, or questions and keep up with all things Take a Bow.
See you next week.
Bye, everyone.
They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the Supps. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Supps celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Supps has arrived on Broadway and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at suppsmusical.com. If you love Broadway gossip, you are not going to want to miss any episode of this podcast, Singular Sensation, The Triumph of Broadway. Plenty of dramas unfold on stage, but the best dramas unfold backstage. And there were no bigger dramas than behind the scenes of Sunset Boulevard.
So you were being crucified over here, but not there.
No. No, because I was turning in a performance that would get standing ovations. Excuse me.
So check out my podcast, Singular Sensation, for all the juicy and gory details of Sunset Boulevard.